welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Great to have each of you here with us this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. And it's a good, we had a good word again this morning, just a good exhortation about God's love and just about God's power, you know. It's amazing. We know that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's the gift of God. And sometimes when it comes to God's power, His strength, God will just mercifully, I've had this at times where God will come by, and it's almost like, well, we know this more in the wintertime than we do now. Your car, your battery dies. Somebody comes along and gives you a jump start. And that happens sometimes by the power of the Spirit of God. I mean, we know that we can feed the Word, you know, meditate on the Word of God, and we know there's ways that we can, last week, it's sow into the Spirit, reaping of the Spirit, life, strength, but there are times when God, in His grace and mercy, He will just, in His love and power, give you a spiritual jump. And it's like, wow, praise God, thank you, Lord. He does that. He loves us so much. And I just, you know, take that word and just realize, you know, God, I'm here, I just receive that strength. And that's what the Bible says it this way in Colossians. He will strengthen you with might by His Spirit in your inner man. In other words, there's a strength that rises up, and it's God. And He just gives it to you because He loves you. So be encouraged, be strengthened, and praise God. Be ready to receive everything good that God has for you. Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul, right into the church of Ephesus, he says, "In Him you also trusted," talking about Jesus and the gospel, "after you heard the word of truth, of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Now to Him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now you see these are actually two scriptures kind of put together. The first one, Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, he's basically saying, when you trusted God, when you believed the gospel, something happened in you. We know we were born again, we know we were made brand new, but something else happened. He says we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Paul, in another portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, "What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price." In other words, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And so there's amazing, you could just preach a bunch of sermons right there on the fact the Holy Spirit lives in you and what all that means. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The Holy Spirit, we see, has all these many faceted dimensions. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. So the Spirit is in there. He is in us in many powerful, dynamic ways to help us through as we're navigating this life in one of these natural bodies down here. But here is another amazing, interesting perspective. Well, we can bring out Ephesians 3:20 as we're along the same. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What's that power? It's not willpower. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside of us. So, wow, you know, you could just go so many directions with the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in us. But Paul, he takes it a different direction, and maybe a direction that we don't always think of, but he says here, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The guarantee, if you break that down in the Greek, it can be like a down payment, the assurance of something else. Again, we could preach a bunch of sermons just on who and what the Holy Spirit is in us and what He can do in us and through us, But Paul's saying, okay, here's a whole nother perspective on the Holy Spirit. What you're sensing, what you're perceiving, when you read the scriptures and something jumps out at you, and all of a sudden you see something clearer than you've seen it before, when like this morning you experience a strengthening with might by your spirit and his inner man, or you're praying about something and you get wisdom and direction, these different interactions with the Holy Spirit, he's saying every time you experience that Holy Spirit, realize that those experiences are like a down payment. They're like a guarantee on something else that's to come. He's the guarantee of the Holy Spirit's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So in other words, as I'm experiencing these different ways I work with the Holy Spirit in my life, God wants me to remember something about that. That evidence on the inside of me that God is real is also another evidence, is the evidence of something else. It's the evidence of inheritance that's to come. We don't always think of the Holy Spirit in that particular perspective. Again, we're kind of, it's very right and proper to think of the here and now and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. But that Holy Spirit, the evidence of in him, he says it's a seal, is a guarantee of something that's to come. Again, like you put a down payment on a house or on something, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, that here's the deposit, but there's something that's coming. There's something that's coming. The working of the Holy Spirit is going to inspire us of something to come. And here we kind of get another picture of what that is. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, there we go. Did I do that? Okay, good. Sometimes they help me out back there, and I don't always know it. So 1 Peter 1 3 through 4, Peter puts it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. We were born again. Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's really even more clear. There is something that doesn't fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. What is it? It's this inheritance. It's so clear throughout the scripture that we have an inheritance, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of it. In other words, there's something waiting on us, and you're going to see it someday. And this is one of the most cool things about our inheritance, or if you were to say heaven. When you get to heaven someday, you're in heaven, it's going to be amazing, it's going to be dazzling, it's going to be powerful, but one of the most glorious things about heaven is going to be that it's familiar. Why would it be familiar? Holy Spirit. You're going to go, wow, amazing, but there's going to be something. This is the same Holy Spirit. That joy that I perceived down there, here's the joy. Yeah, maybe it was on volume 2 there and it's on volume 10 there, but it's the same joy. It's the same peace. It's the same Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to prepare us for an inheritance that is to come. A divine, supernatural inheritance. So the title of my message this morning is simply called The Benefits of God's 401k Plan. You know, many times as we preach sermons and messages, and you know, if you've been around Door of Life very long, you'll know that there are three areas that we really focus on. Number one is the love of God and knowing and receiving and growing in the love of God. The other one is living victorious, learning how to overcome those things and the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. But the other one, too, is the hope, its future, finding and knowing God's plan and purpose for your life. And, of course, we think of that and the good works he's ordained us to walk in down here. But you got to realize this is part of your future. God has put some things in his word. And as we go forward and we look at the benefits of God's 401k plan, it's very important to realize what we're going to be talking about this morning is not human speculation. It's not fantasy. It's the word of God. This is what, you know, the Bible says we don't see everything clearly. We kind of see through a mirror dimly. We see some things and maybe even some shadowy things, but we don't see everything clearly. Someday, We're going to see clearly. We're going to know face to face. We'll understand it all. But it's amazing, even as we see through a glass darkly right now on this side of heaven, the things that God has put in his word for our benefit to know that part. And there is something very, very powerful about knowing the benefits of God's 401k plan that will affect your life in the here and now. It'll make you think different. It'll make you live different. And we're going to just kind of see that as we begin to walk through it. First of all, as we're talking about the benefits of God's 401k plan, the first benefit that it provides, and I think it's a benefit that that we can understand in a natural sense, is a sense of security. You know, we have in the natural, in a government program, Social Security. It's giving you a sense that there's coming that time in my life when I'm going to transition from my working days to retirement days. And when that transition happens, there's going to be some things waiting on me that are going to help me and help provide for that transition, okay? And as we talk about it and we think about the benefits of God's 401k plan, it's a little different than that. There's a similar parallel, but it's not going from my working days to my non-working days, as it were. But it's when you retire from this body. Do you know you live in this body right now? But this body isn't the real you. This is just the car you're driving around in. There is something bigger to you than this body. When you received Christ, this body didn't change. It was you on the inside that changed, became a brand new person. But there's coming a day in your life, unless Jesus comes back, that could happen too. But if Jesus tarries and he doesn't come back in our lifetime, there's going to be a time when my spirit retires from my body. Your spirit will outlive your body. Paul said, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. A natural thing has natural parts that will wear out over natural time. All right? That's just the natural course of life that is a result of the fall, ultimately. But there's something on the inside of you that's going to outlive that. At that point, there's going to be a certain retirement that will happen. And I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it. He said, he's talking about the resurrection. He said, if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. That also those who've fallen asleep or who've died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. This is really, really important, and I want to get it across this morning in a way that I just pray will just resonate deep in your spirit. It is important for us to understand how real heaven is. Why did Jesus go through everything that he went through? I love the way he summed it up, ultimately, just before he went to the cross. He said, I'm doing all this so that where I am, you may be also. That is succinct, it's well put. He didn't, you know, he wasn't doing this to start up another religion. We had enough of those. He was doing it ultimately so that where he is, we may be also. We cannot lose sight of that fact. This is, in other words, Paul's saying, hey, this is for real. We're not pretending. We're not patty caking. We're not doing things. You know, Paul's saying, look, we're most pitiable. In other words, if this isn't true, if there's no resurrection from the dead, you shouldn't just disagree with us. You should feel sorry for us. That's pretty powerful for a guy who wrote half the New Testament. He was a very intellectual man, very spiritual man, knew God, and he knew this was real. And we're here this morning because God is real, because his spirit is real. We know it. We know by the witness of his spirit. And that witness of the spirit, as we're worshiping him, as we're experiencing his peace, is speaking something else. There is something waiting on you. There is something amazing waiting on you. Hope. When you get the revelation of heaven, it will spark a hope in you that will cause you to live courageously in the here and now. Sometimes we've stayed away from heaven because we thought, well, you know, we don't want people to just kind of check out in the here and now and just think about heaven and, you know, kind of have a sweet by and by mentality where, yeah, the devil's winning now, but, you know, someday, you know, Jesus is going to get him in the end, you know, and that's not what we believe at all. Jesus already got him 2,000 years ago. He defeated him at the cross, spoiled powers and principalities, gave us his spirit, gave us his name, given us authority in the here and now to live victoriously and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony right now. That's a now thing. Praise God. And a lot of times you're kind of caught between either or. Do you just focus on the now or do you focus on heaven? How about both? If it's all in the Bible, then why do I have to pick one? If it's all in the Bible, I am strong on all of it. You know, the Bible says there's three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And a lot of times you'll see kind of theologically people will focus in on one of those. Faith, 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 faith. Or hope, future, future, future. Or love, it's just all love, love, love. Well, yes, we need them all, but they all remain. So as a New Testament church, we should be strong in faith. We should be strong in hope. We should be strong in love. And we'll find that heaven is part of our blessed hope. It remains. It's something we preach. It's something we're strong in. Absolutely strong in. Strong in the reality of heaven. We're going to see what happens to people when they become strong in the reality of heaven. We're going to see an example of a guy like, you know, like the Apostle Paul. He put it this way, as he was getting ready to retire from his body. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh," listen to the way he talks about himself as it relates to his body. "If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart from the flesh and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." So he's kind of having, it's almost like, Paul isn't suicidal here. He's not contemplating taking his own life, okay? It has nothing to do with that. But it's like he's getting toward the end of his life, and he can kind of decide, am I going to kind of shut down and coast here, or am I going to stay focused and be diligent about what God has wanted me to do? And he's saying, yeah, I know heaven is far better. He said, but to stay in the flesh is more needful for you. That's an amazing thing. That's love. He knew what was waiting on him. He knew that inheritance. He wasn't hoping he was going to go to heaven when he died. Not at all. People who are just hoping they might go to heaven when they die, they don't talk like this. He knew it. It was absolutely sure in his heart. And as we kind of look at some things, we'll see that he's actually, you know, had an experience there and had been there. But he realized that to live is Christ, to die is gain. He certainly was not afraid of dying. You know, when you get a revelation of heaven and it's real to you, the fear of death becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and you begin to be a person who, you know, it's just not, you get the big picture. And it's not fantasy, you see it. Have you ever just kind of looked at some things in the Bible? Maybe you could get God's provision to heal or wisdom and things like that and different things, and all of a sudden you see it, and it's real. Wow, it like jumps out, and you can kind of see it. What's what the Bible calls revelation. And the word revelation is just like an unveiling. You know, if there's a statue, you can see the shadow of the statue. I'm sure, you know, at Lambeau Field, they had the unveiling of Lombardi and all those figures down there. And, you know, at some point, there's like a drop cloth. You kind of know what's there, but when the drop cloth comes off, you see it clearly. And that's kind of the way as you're learning and growing in the things of God. Yeah, I kind of know God might do this or that, but you begin to pray and see things, and God answers prayer, and all of a sudden you see clearly some things. That's revealed. If the drop cloth is off, you're not wondering anymore. You see it, and the Holy Spirit shows you that. You can get that with heaven, where heaven doesn't have to be a shadowy figure that you hope is really real. God will show you things of heaven that'll make you talk like this. It'll make you talk tough. And it's not because of your ego, it's not because of your pride, it's not because of anything natural. It's because you've seen something. God wants us to see and know the reality of what is waiting on us. When it does, you're not afraid of some things anymore. When you realize also the big picture, some other things come into proper perspective as well too. This one for sure, Revelation 20:10, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Have you ever had problems with the enemy going about as a roaring lion? Has he ever played head games with you, mind games with you, powers and principalities? I'll tell you what, when you see the end from the beginning, you realize that's a temporary problem. That's temporary. If my life is a vapor, that's as long as it has. There's something about that that gives me courage in the here and now. To not be overwhelmed and make the attacks of the whole world. That's not your whole world. It's a very small part of your existence. Eternity in heaven is your world. This is a very small part of your existence. And when you get the reality of heaven, it's going to give you courage to fight those battles, not be tired out, not to be intimidated, because there's a part of you that's living forever and ever and ever. I love another great perspective here the Apostle Paul gives us. "For I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amplified, for I consider the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. God put that in his word for us to see those words, to encourage our hearts. Are we going through stuff down here? Yeah. But can it even compare with the glory? Boy, if that glory and the reality of heaven is big in your heart and your mind, it'll help you in the here and now with the sufferings and the things that you're going through down here. The benefits of God's retirement plan, his 401k, the point your spirit leaves your body, are literally out of this world. And they are powerful and they're real. And God says it in a way that he empathizes with what we're going through right now. He understands, he gets it. Jesus became flesh, God became flesh in the person of Jesus, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He experienced the pulls, he experienced betrayal of friends, he experienced the whole social, physical things in his body. The Bible says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, experienced the full gamut and spectrum of temptation, praise God, without sin. And as a result of that, he's a merciful and compassionate and faithful high priest who helps us when we're going through that stuff. I'm so glad that as he came through it, he didn't come back with the harsh, I did it, you should do it. He came back with the merciful and understanding, here's mercy and grace to help you now in your time of need. That's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And when God talks to us about heaven, he says, I get it. I know what you're going through down here, but I'm telling you, it can't even be compared. In fact, when Jesus, before he went to the cross, he said, now, Father, I've completed the work you've called me to do. Now restore me to the glory that I had with you before. You know, Jesus was very glad to be fulfilled with his mission and be restored to the glory that he had with the Father before. You know, so he was, and the Apostle Paul was very glad, but he chose to say he did it, everything God called him to do, but there was a reality. And that's what the Bible says, even about Jesus. It says, who for the joy, talking about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. How could Jesus go through Gethsemane and all the, come down from the cross, and if you really are the Christ, there was something that was set before him that gave him the ability to endure the cross and to overcome that shame. The joy that was set before him. And that's what we see here too. When we're talking about God's 401k plan, what are we talking about? We're talking about the joy that is set before you. We're talking about the joy of something that does not fade away, that's reserved in heaven for you. And if you get a picture of it, you get a vision of it, and you can see what Jesus was seeing, it'll help you in the here and now. It'll help you to get a perspective on the things that we're going through. Yeah, I'm going through some stuff right now, but I have a hope that's an anchor to my soul that's keeping me steady and fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the account that we have of the Apostle Paul. And this is kind of, I love how it kind of made him, you know, there's a song, You Make Me Brave, you know, about, you know, the way God gives us strength and causes us to be courageous. Well, here you see a real case of that. The Apostle Paul says, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. He's going to go into a buzzsaw, and he knows he's going into a buzzsaw. The Holy Spirit even says, there's going to be some things going on here. But he goes on to say this, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of grace. That is tough talk. I mean, if God would say, you're going to be going through some things, there's some tribulations, I'm leading you here, there's going to be some stuff, there's going to be some opposition, but this is my will, and good things are going to come out of it, and people are going to be blessed. But you know, heads up, there's going to be some persecution and attack that happens. And you could say, bring it on, Lord, here we go. Why? How can you talk like that? Nor do I count my life dear to myself. A person who says, I don't count my life dear to myself, here I go, that's a person who sees and knows heaven. That's not a person who's hoping he goes to heaven when he dies. That's a person who's seen heaven. It's been revealed. He's got a glimpse. There's a joy that is set before him that makes him just courageous, just like Jesus was courageous. What happens? It's the revelation of heaven. It's the revelation of the joy that is set before you. God has given us amazing pictures in his word of what that is. And when that happens, man, it makes you courageous. It makes you realize what is waiting on you. 1 John 3 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. We know that. We experience that every day. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. When the reality of heaven and the reality of seeing Jesus is burning in your heart, it doesn't make you complacent. It makes you very accountable. It causes you to purify yourself even as he's pure. You know, if you have some big important person and they're coming to your house sometime today, but you don't know exactly when, you're going to be having things in order and ready just at any time when that's real. And when the reality of Jesus, his return, going to being in heaven, there is an expectancy, a godly expectancy that causes you to want to purge the junk and to have your heart ready. So the hope of heaven, it really has a positive, clearing, purifying effect. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they've become so ineffective in this. There's no joy set before us. We're doing our duty. There is something big and powerful and wonderful. Jesus had a joy that was set before him. We have a joy that is set before us. And it will make you strong. It'll give you courage. It'll give you boldness. Because you see something. You know something. So, as we're kind of looking through some things, and as we're looking through some of these things, I know some of these things, in the natural for your mind to try to comprehend some of these things, it's going to seem far out. I will just disclaimer that right now. If you're going to try to fully be blessed by these things according to your intellectual capacity, you will be humbled this morning. But these things are in the Word of God. And I'll kind of say this, you know, when you start delving into these eternal truths and these blessings and these benefits, the question isn't really whether my brain can comprehend it in terms of legitimacy. The real question is whether the one who made my brain can comprehend it. If he can comprehend it and he wrote it, yes, it is intellectually honest to throw my heart and mind and say, praise God, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, that's going to be amazing. You know, it takes childlike faith to come to Christ, to recognize your sinful condition and call upon Jesus, believe your sins were on that cross and receive him as your Savior. It takes childlike faith to humble your intellect on some of these amazing things. Remember, the Bible says already in the here and now, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So intellect is humbled right there in the here and now. All right. So as we're stepping over into the inheritance, you're going to realize, praise God, this is amazing. Here we go. So here we go, the benefits of our 401k plan. One of these is called the riches of grace. The riches of grace. And the Apostle Paul, trying to describe this one, this benefit, he's writing to the Ephesian church, and he says, he raised us up together, talking about us with Jesus, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amplified says, he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You know, this is one of those things, you know, that what does all this mean exactly? We know something about the grace of God. We know that he demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were sinners, he died for us. That's amazing. We call it agape love, unconditional love. That's which just seems immeasurable as it is. But yet we're just starting to learn the amazing riches of his grace, that it's going to take the ages to come for us to show his kindness and the goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. We have a certain level of revelation of how much he loves us. But we're going to be going in the ages to come. It's going to be how loved can you get? How, you know, amazing is God's goodness and his grace? There's a story of a little girl walking with her dad, and she She looked up the stars and she said, wow, if the wrong side of heaven is this beautiful, what must the right side of heaven be like? And just the other day, I was just thanking God, just looking up at a beautiful starry night. Just thank you, Lord. This is just, it just blesses me. All creation declares the glory of God. It's like it just resonates in your own spirit when you look up and thank you, Lord. But she's right. You know, if this is the fallen side, how incredible, how glorious is that other side going to be like? You know, and it's kind of the way I've seen it. And actually, this just happened just this last year, watching the fireworks with Abby. You know, she looked at the fireworks and she just goes, wow, that's the best one yet. And then the next one goes off and says, no, that's the best one yet. You know, and I think that's the way we're going to be. We're going, wow, no, I can't get, wow, it's in the ages to come. And you know the joy for me as a dad? I wasn't even looking at the fire. It was watching her watch the fireworks. I think that's going to be the joy of our Father. And we're going to be watching the glory and going, wow, wow, wow. And he's going to be watching us watch his love for us. There's a very tender, sweet love that the Father has for us. Hard to wrap your mind intellectually. You can't whiteboard this kind of thing. But, you know, this is stuff in your spirit. We're going to all, on the other side, we're going to go, oh, that's what he meant by the ages to come to show us. So there's this, some of this stuff, we get a piece of it. But we realize that this is part of it. Man, it's going to be amazing. The glory of God and the glory of man are just so different. You know, the glory of man is like one firework. It's like the flower of the field. It's here today, gone tomorrow. And then what does man have to do? Then he has to spend the rest of his life watching the rerun of that firework. But with God, it isn't like that. You go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And again, it's the one who made my brain. My natural fallen brain doesn't have to fully be able to wrap itself around it. It doesn't matter. This is true and it's wonderful. What does it create? It's a joy that's set before me. I don't know all the specifics, but I know enough to be joyful, to be stirred up. Another benefit, we'll say, of God's retirement policy. This is really, boy, you talk about something that's going to be absolutely stunning, amazing in heaven. There is something called personal rewards. Again, this is not a preacher stirring you up or fantasizing or speculating. This is what Jesus said. He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's Jesus talking. He's saying there's things we do down here that actually store up treasures in heaven. Some of these things about heaven are static. They have nothing to do with what I do down there in terms of the riches of the glory and all that kind of stuff. But there are some things that I do down here that will have a personal touch to heaven and to what's going to be up there. Jesus said there are things that we can do that will store up treasures in heaven. You know, here were the forerunners entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, to whom also men gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness and those of King of Salem, meaning peace. This is talking about the two priesthoods, you know, the Melchizedek priesthood and that Abraham honored and tithed, and then the Jesus priesthood, which is also after the order of Melchizedek. It says, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives, and who he lives forever. When, you know, we receive tithes, offering, giving, this is one form. This is not the only way. But here we see clearly, when you give something in the natural down here. It could be of your finances, it could be tithes, it could be offerings, it could be your time. But he's receiving them up there. There's a natural transaction that has to do with faith. There's just the reciprocation of your heart to give as he's given. But there is something that's being received in heaven. It says, there he receives them. There is heaven, and he is Jesus. He's receiving when we give. And again, this is an example of tithing, where he receives what we give. There is a storing up that happens in heaven with our time. And it's an amazing thing to think about that, to think about that as far as what we do down here matters. We'll see here another glimpse of it here in Corinthians. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid than is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, in other words, this is our salvation right here. This is our foundation. We are saved by grace through faith. You're born again. You're a child of God. Now, for the rest of your life, you got a building project. What are we going to do for the kingdom of God? He goes on to say, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, this is just allegorical, really doing the will of God, or wood, hay, and straw, allegorical, to kind of doing your own self-will, you know, what flesh looks like in the junk. We've been on both sides of the wood, hay, and straw, and the gold and silver. But he goes on to say, each one's work will become clear, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Why will he himself still be saved, yet so is through fire? His work was wood, hay, and straw. How? Why will he still be saved? He got the foundation right. He got the foundation right. You're not saved because of what you build. You're saved because you got the foundation right. So be careful for us to not judge people either along these lines. They may be not building some good stuff on that foundation, but if they got the foundation right, they're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. I'm not building towards salvation. The only reason I can build anything in the first place is because I'm already saved. They got the foundation right. Praise God. But this morning, when we realize there's stuff that we do, when we do that gold and silver and precious stone stuff, is there anything more satisfying than experiencing, perceiving, sensing that you were used by God to do something? Whether it was giving of your heart, your time, money, whatever it is, you did something, and it was like the witness goes, yes, well done, pleased. It's like, oh, praise God. That's gold, silver, precious stone stuff. There is a job satisfaction you get from that that's greater than any job satisfaction there is. Just from you as a child of God, doing what you know in your heart God wanted you to do. That's the gold, silver, precious stones. And then something happens with that. He says you get a reward. Praise God. And this is what Paul says in Corinthians. Therefore, we must make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Why? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not of heaven and hell. There's a great white throne judgment that is for heaven and hell. You're judged for righteousness. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, the righteousness judgment's already been passed. You already passed that one because you got the foundation right. But there is still a judgment seat of Christ. What happens there? That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. All right? When you do good things, praise God, the Bible says you will receive a reward. This is a real point in time that's really going to happen. You are going to stand before God and there will be an accounting. Again, this isn't heaven or hell. This is really ultimately accounting for rewards. And it says, you know, where he said suffer loss. What is it that means? You know, if a person's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. What is that loss? What is it the loss that he's going to be suffering right there? It's going to be the loss of the reward God wanted to give him. You know, the Bible says we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he's ordained us to walk in. Now, I'm not walking him to go to heaven. I got the foundation right. But when I walk in him, God can give me rewards that it's in his heart to give me and bless me. If I choose to do the wood, hay, and stubble my own thing, and I just kind of ignore that and kind of coast, there's a loss of reward he would have really liked to give you and to bless you. All right? Now, you're not going to have to go through eternity with eternal regret. We know that every tear will be wiped away. But I'll tell you this, there will be a sense of satisfaction and joy. What is that evidence of? It's faith. A person who's doing stuff right now, they got to really believe heaven's real. I mean, if you're doing and you're giving, you got to believe you're really storing up. You got to believe that this is a real deal. That's faith. It pleases God. Stuff's going to go on. Something's going to happen here. And so you're going to come before him. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And think of this. God has given accounting of those good works. He ordained you to walk in. He said, I wanted you to talk to that person. You talked to that. You did this. And he's going to say, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. And he's going to give you something. He's going to give you something. When I was just kind of meditating on this and trying to get a revelation, what is that like, God? You know, and the thing that the Lord prompted in my heart to get a revelation of what this is going to look like is when, you know, now it's Abby, but my other kids, when they were little growing up, they would draw me a picture. You know, I just got a Father's Day card from Abby. A little drawing of Abby and a little drawing of me and a little heart, and she's giving me something. It's really, and she gives that to me. Here you go, Dad. And I look at that and I go, wow. You know, that just blesses you. It just, you receive that. And it's just amazing, and it blesses your heart. And it's not the value of the crayon or the paper. It's the fact that what's on this picture came from the heart of my little girl, and she wanted to write that down so I could have it and take that and know that that's from her. That's what makes it valuable. When you think of rewards, don't think of rubies and gold. Jesus is going to do something. He's going to create, do something uniquely to represent good works you've done, and as an expression of saying, thank you. That's what a reward is. It's saying, thank you. And you're going to have that, and moth and rust won't be able to corrupt. And when you've been there 10,000 years, that personal thank you from the judgment seat of Christ will still be with you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's going to be a very humbling time when our Lord gives us his thank you. Wow. I'll tell you, when I think about that in the here and now, it makes me want to live for God in the here and now. When I realize the benefits of his 401k, the benefits of his retirement. There is something that I'm doing, not to get stuff, but I realize that what I'm doing, it's blessing God. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. What we do down here matters. Deeds done in the body. That body is the physical, mortal body. This one, limited time only. Opportunity to do stuff in this body that's going to impact your eternity, the things that you see. Here's another really cool thing. Side benefit of God's 401k plan. The one you've been perceiving all these years by faith, you're going to finally see him face to face. Revelation 22, 3 through 5, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. That is a real powerful just truth of the fact that we are going to actually see Jesus. You're going to see the one, I just like to put it that way, the one that I've been perceiving all these years. Again, a great little anecdote along those lines. There was a doctor was with his patient, and he was, I don't know if it, you know, it was a situation with the full, if he was making a house call, or no, I think it was, he was in his office, and the dying patient was asking the doctor, he said, you know, I know I'm slipping away. They were both believers. He said, can you tell me, doc, what heaven's going to be like? Do you have any idea what I can expect, you know, when I go there? I mean, and all of a sudden, as it would happen, the doctor's dog was, he had him in the office, and he heard his doctor, his owner, inside the office, and he was scratching at the door. He was scratching at the door. And he said, you know, my that's my dog outside. He's scratching at the door. He said, he can't see me, but he can hear me, and he knows my voice, and he knows I'm in here, and he's just anticipating seeing me. But even though he can't see me, he knows that when I open that door, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there with him. I'm going to be there for him. And he said, this person that you've been perceiving, answers to your prayers, the joy, the peace, all those different things that you've been perceiving that you're kind of hearing on the other side of the door with the Holy Spirit as the guarantee, that's a great word, guarantee of the inheritance that's to come. He says, all those little evidence, all those things that you've been perceiving, when the door opens, that door is about to open for you. I'm about to open that door for my dog, but there's a door that's about to open for you, and you're going to see him face to face. And it was just a comforting word as the man slipped home to be with the Lord. Your spirit retires from your body. Your spirit doesn't die. Your spirit doesn't cease to exist. It just departs from the body to be with Christ. You understand? It's an amazing thing. No matter what I do to this body, I'm still me. If I were to lose an arm and a leg, I wouldn't be half the man I was before. I'd still be me. Totally me. 100% me. My body would be, but I'm still me. So you begin to realize this body doesn't define who you are. It's the house you're living in. It's just the car you're driving. You know, I mean, we're here. Your car's out there. Your car is like your body out there. Your car has no life without the Spirit. The Bible says the body without the Spirit is dead. The car without the driver is dead. You know? And we know that there's coming, the Bible says, a resurrection day when we're going to get new bodies, new cars. Things are going to happen. But you got to realize that the real you, it's who you are on the inside. It's your spirit. And then next thing that we want to see as far as another benefit of heaven, it says there's heavenly worship. I love this one. We get an amazing picture. And this is going to be a future event that's going to happen with us you know, before Jesus. It says in Revelation 5, 9 through 10, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy. Now, this is us. We're part of the sea of glass here that is in this praise and worship session. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scrolls and to open its seals, for you were slain. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels and the throne of the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Isn't that an amazing thing? Through the ages, we're going to be talking about this. This is going to come up in our heavenly worship. You know, you look back sometimes and events could be, in the olden days, we used to have photo albums. Remember those things you'd kind of open up? Nowadays, you're kind of looking back on your pictures and things and events, and you could see, wow, monumental occasions and things that happened in your life, milestones. A lot of times we'll have little pictures of, you know, the wedding or a baptism or different things like that or different things. Well, this is going to be one of those photo album moments that we're going to be celebrating through all eternity. And an amazing thing, I know by faith that I'm saved by grace through faith. I mean, I know that by faith. I've got these perceptions. But when my spirit leaves my body, it is going to be so real, so clear. And I'm going to know I'm in heaven for one reason, in the presence of a holy God. And that's going to be because of the Lamb that was slain, who redeemed us to God by his blood. I'm going, wow, I'm going to be going, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who redeemed us to God by his blood. You know, I'm kind of perceiving things, and I'm going, yeah, it's going to be glorious to see him, but I'm going to see how holy, how pure, and I'm going to see, yeah, I can see why flesh and blood couldn't inherit this. It is glorious. And I really am a new creation. Not that I didn't totally believe it, but you're going to see how new you really are. The Holy Spirit really is in me. You can get glimpses of this in the here and now that'll make you bold, that'll make you strong, that'll make you, even your right now, as we're worshiping right now in spirit and in truth. Like I said, one of the glorious things about heaven, as glorious as this is going to be, there is still, as we're in that glory, a sense of familiarity that you've experienced down here, even when you're doing worshiping God on a Sunday morning or in your car or wherever it might be. It's going to be like, wow, this is glorious, but it's gloriously familiar. Same Spirit, same Lord. Hallelujah. I am at home. Praise God. In a universal worship service, all the creatures singing out. Jesus said even the rocks would cry out. This is amazing, amazing thing. Again, your natural mind tilts on some of this stuff, but don't let it tilt. Just humble your intellect and say, yeah, this is the word of God. This is true. This is true as that same word that said he died on the cross for my sins. The other kind of just quick little, quick benefit things that we're going to experience in as part of our inheritance is family time. Family time. I love how the Word of God depicts what we're in here, what we're involved with here. This is not like an organization, social organization to try to, you know, do something or affect social change. We are here as God's children with the gospel and the good news to let people know that God loves them. That's our mission. That's our call on this earth. You know, and it is for a limited time only. And we have that sense of purpose and destiny, but we are bound by family. God didn't create an organization. He created a family. Paul puts it this way, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Family spread out over heaven and earth. One family spread out over heaven and earth. We've got family. You know, we've got, Lindsay and Isaac. They live in Oklahoma. Kaylee also is going to school there right now as well, too. So we've got family spread out over Wisconsin and Oklahoma. The family of God is spread out over heaven and earth. The other reality when you're in heaven is, wow, here's my family in heaven. Those who are what we'd say sleep in Jesus, they've departed to be with Christ. They will be there. That's where he is. When Jesus ascended on the earth, he ascended into heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. If I die, I will depart and be with Christ who is in heaven, Paul said. So our loved ones are in heaven. They're really there. It's not just a consoling little thought. It's just as sure of a spiritual reality as God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. It's all in the same inspired Word of God. Our family is in heaven. Philippians 3:20 puts it this way. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we have our natural temporary citizenship, and we need to be responsible as natural citizens, but we need to realize there's a bigger citizenship, and we are registered in that citizenship in heaven. We are there. Again, this is not fantasy. This is really real. I'm not making it up. The Bible just tells us this stuff ahead of time. And so I can look at that and say, wow, yes, my citizenship is in heaven. It doesn't matter what, you don't have to, you know, you got to consider the company you're around when you say some of these things out loud, certainly. When you're around fellow believers, there should be an appreciation. Yes, our citizenship. What does that mean? You're going to be there and you're going to be a citizen of heaven. And you know that ahead of time. What is it like to be a citizen here or a natural citizen? There's a certain recognition, there's a belonging, there is an acceptance that you have as a citizenship on any level, whether it's a city, a state, a local, national, there's citizenship. There is a citizenship in heaven. You'll experience that you belong there. You belong there. You're a citizen of that place. And so we're family. Here's the way Hebrews puts it. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. You are registered in heaven. Kind of like, oh, your name. And they're like, yes, you are registered. Your name is there. It really is. It's not a consoling little thing to make you feel good. It's really there. It's true. What happens when you believe that? When that's where I'm at, that's where I'm living, that's part of what I'm coming to, that is, it begins to change the way you think. It begins to change the way you see yourself. Also, a new, just to kind of close that out too, as far as, you know, the sense of family, is you got to realize, again, the way God designed the body of Christ, he designed us to be a part of a family, okay? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. The language of the scriptures, it's brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. And I know it's kind of like the drop cloth can come off that concept. And you can get it, we really are family. We're family. Have you ever had that? You bump into somebody who knows the Lord, you talk with them 5 minutes, they know you better than your natural family, who knows you your whole life. It's like, wow, you really are a family. It's really true. It's amazing when you really see how these things are true. Sometimes we can almost become inoculated to these concepts, but they're really true. We are a family of God. And the cool thing of it is, even as we're family, even as we love each other in family, a lot of times we're guarded. We're insecure. We don't show our whole hand. We love each other as much as we feel we can love each other. Could you imagine not being in this, being able to express how much you really love somebody in heaven? Without the veil of fallen flesh, no insecurity. Can you imagine how rich? I mean, we can enjoy rich family relationships down here, but this is, without this, there's going to be a richness and a sweetness of love and family love and being able to hang out the ages to come. You know, you're never going to want for time with anyone. Family and a sweet, sweet relationship of family that we're going to have there. That's part of our retirement. That's part of our 401k. That's part of our retirement plan with God. And then finally, just a couple things. Our new bodies, this will happen. He goes on to say our citizenship is in heaven, which we're waiting for Jesus. He says, who will transform our lowly body. That's talking about the fallen mortal body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. That's Jesus' glorious body, according to the working which by he's able to subdue all things to himself. When Jesus was resurrected and he came back and talked to his disciples after the resurrection, his body could do amazing things. He could eat fish. He could appear, he could disappear. He had a glorious body. And the Bible says that our bodies are going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We're going to have glorious bodies. We're going to have glorified bodies. Right now, we live in bodies that fight us. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary the one to the other. You can't do the things that you would. Have you found that battle? You want to do the right thing, but you got appetites, this thing, that doesn't want to do the right thing. So there's a fight going on. The fight will be over. You're going to have a physical body that's going to be in perfect harmony with your spirit and the Holy Spirit. No more fighting. A physical body that's going to work with everything that God has ordained you to do throughout eternity. Wow. Praise God for that. Yeah, this is a bummer at times, but it's a temporary bummer. So praise God. New bodies. Behold, I tell you in a mystery, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on incorruptibility. Again, we'll understand that better when we're on the other side. We'll be saying, oh yeah, I can see why corruption couldn't have, there's no way. I had to become new to be able to come here, to exist in this realm, you know, of glory. And I see why I had to get born again. I see why Nicodemus had to get born again. I see why I had to be born again. Had to. Finally, new heavens and a new earth. The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For this we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. And so we can see clearly that there is going to be, in the same way we got born again in our spirit, in the same way our natural bodies are going to get a new body, the earth is going to get born again. The earth is going to be coming to the glory. So we're going to be living on an earth that's absolutely born again, brand new, made new. And this is kind of the end story here. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God. Praise God. So even the earth, new spirit in a new body on a new earth, with God Almighty, the heavenly Jerusalem coming to this, to a new earth. What an amazing way. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be shown no more pain. The former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Then he said to them, write, for these words are true and faithful. Wow. Praise God. Write. These words are true and faithful. And if we believe them, they will transform us. They'll give us courage. They'll give us strength. And as we begin to look at what's waiting on us, this is the thing that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There's a sense of security in the here and now. Man, whatever I'm going through, it's just temporary. My life's a vapor, and so are the junk and the situation that I'm going through. Hey, there's a big picture here. There was a joy that was set before Jesus that gave him the courage and the strength and the joy that caused him to endure the junk to fulfill the will of the Father. There's a joy that is set before us that can give us that same encouragement and strength to endure the stuff that we deal with down here, knowing that there's something, the riches of grace. What is that exactly? It's going to be glorious. It's going to be the glory of God, not the glory of man, not a temporary glory, but a glory to glory, something that's going to be causing us to do, going awe through the ages while God's probably watching us go off through the ages. The personal rewards, that means the stuff you do down here. This is where heaven's going to be, have your fingerprint. You know, heaven's going to be very uniquely different for each of us based on personal rewards. That's not going to be a corporate thing. That's an individual, each one of us. Not corporate, each one of us. So the kind of the fingerprint of heaven is going to be somewhat according to the good works you've ordained to walk in. Thank God the foundation's what you got you in. But what you do for him is going to cause him one day to say, not just well done, but thank you. Here, I want you to have this. Very sweet moment, humbling moment. We're going to see Jesus face to face, not just the scratching on the door, not just the perceiving. Thanks, so thankful for the deposit of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee that's given me all these perceptions, but I'm going to see him face to face. I'm going to look into his eyes. You are going to look into his eyes, the eyes of the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Heavenly worship. It's going to be an amazing corporate event where we are giving glory to God and saying you're worthy because what you did on the cross, you've redeemed us to God by your blood. That's going to be the resounding anthem of heaven as we're there and realize why we're there. It's purely the grace of God. Family time, there really are going to be fellowship with our families who are there with us in a way that's even better than we experience down here. Think, oh, I'd really like to see them again. I'll tell you what, there will be an intimacy you'll have of fellowship there that you couldn't even achieve down here because of our working out things in our body and flesh and insecurities and stuff like that. It'll be a lot better than even what you could even remember it ever being the best down here. New bodies won't fight us. Going to be perfectly in harmonious with what God wants us to do. New heavens, new earth, the whole stage is going to be set for all eternity in God's redeemed creation. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is, as there was a joy that was set before Jesus, there's a joy that is set before us. This is not fantasy. This is the Word of God. This is what you have chosen to show us, to give us a hope and to give us a courage that we don't have to be afraid. You said to not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but be afraid of him who can destroy both body and spirit. Just that courageousness to not count your life dear to yourself, that you could fulfill what God's called you to do. Lord, that just takes supernatural revelation of the joy that is set before us, to give us that courage and strength, to not be overwhelmed by the infirmities and the things, you know, where you said that the sufferings of this present time, to not be overwhelmed by the sufferings of this present time, but to really see and contrast it with the glory that's to be revealed in us. Lord, that we can endure our cross and overcome those things that we have to overcome. Father, I just pray, open our eyes. Show us this amazing truth of your word, the hope of heaven. You said it's an anchor to our soul, an anchor to our mind, our will, and our emotions to keep us steady, to keep that boat steady in the water, right where you want it. We can't stop the waves from blowing it, but we've got an anchor to keep us there, to keep us in that direction, to keep us fixed, to keep us planted, fishing where you want us to fish, being where you want us to be. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing retirement plan you have for every one of us, reserved in heaven, fadeless for each one of us, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. If your heart can agree, say, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this amazing hope, this glorious inheritance. It's reserved in heaven for me. It's a joy. It is set before me. I'm going to run my race down here, looking unto Jesus, looking unto this hope. You've set it before me. I'm going to endure the sufferings of this present time. I'm going to overcome the enemy. I'm going to build on this foundation. Gold, silver, precious stones. The good things you've called me to do. You've loved me so much. I want to love you back with my life. Jesus, today is my day, the day I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe, you love me. I receive that love now. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for my eternal inheritance that's waiting for me because of the Lamb that was slain. In Jesus' name, amen.